us about your title and how you were able to rise up to the ranks that you're at today. And was it difficult as a female?
When you enter the Navy as a Nurse Corps officer, your first task is to hone your clinical skills as a general nurse. So you're working on your basic skills. You work medical surgical. That's what I worked, medical surgical nursing in a hospital. And you work with other members of Navy medicine, physicians, nurses, corpsmen, and you teach somebody else, and somebody else teaches you, and you learn as you go. And as I moved up the ranks into more leadership positions, first as a division officer, then as a department head, and I began to take some extracurricular coursework in moving towards a healthcare administrative degree, which I ultimately achieved. And then I pursued what in the Navy we call executive medicine, and I wanted to be a commanding officer of a health clinic, and that's what I was chosen to be. And then I moved to our headquarters command, which is outside of Washington, D.C. in Northern Virginia. And first I was managing healthcare operations for Navy medicine worldwide, and then when I was selected for my new position as chief of staff, I helped coordinate all of our efforts in support of Navy medicine worldwide. And as a female, as a nurse, I believe that I did not experience any difficulties as a result of being a female. Navy has an awful lot of opportunity. I believe we really are a diverse makeup. We are a reflection of the community, but then I think within the organization, there are so many opportunities for everybody, and I've been very fortunate.
Tell us about the Navy's medicine and humanitarian assistance disaster response. What is that like to be a part of? What do you do?
The humanitarian assistance and disaster response is twofold. Sometimes it is a reactive outreach, and sometimes it is a proactive outreach. And we call that overarching Navy's soft power global engagement. And in a reactive way, for instance, with the disaster, the earthquake in Haiti, where they took the hospital ship that is located out of Baltimore, Maryland, and in 76 hours they got that hospital ship underway. And within the next week, as it was moving down the coast, they brought staff from various Navy medicine facilities onto the ship, and they brought them to the site. And it is a most rewarding and enriching and life-altering experience to have been able to take part in that sort of human disaster and to be on site and to be outreaching and helping people.
Can you ever do enough in those situations and have enough to bring to them?
No. It's hard. And when you talk to the people who were a part of the Haiti effort, they felt that it was never ending, and that becomes something important that you have to pay attention to take care of yourself and to pace yourself so that you can take care of more, in fact. So every humanitarian assistance and disaster relief effort is different. Each one has its own characteristics. So Haiti was an earthquake with a lot of hard structures falling on top of people, and so there were a lot of orthopedic injuries. That was the nature of that one. Another one might be more water-related, and so that soggy households, and mold, it becomes a different health threat. So every humanitarian assistance effort is a little bit different. And the hospital ships, there is a hospital ship on the East Coast, the Comfort, and there is one on the West Coast, the Mercy. And in alternating years, the two ships go on cruises, if you will. The Comfort goes on Continuing Promise, which is Central America, South America, and they stop at various ports. And there are planned visits, and then contingents of staff go out and they interact with the local people. And you realize that that is the face of the United States, reaching outward and presenting who we are as a people and how we can help other people. And that is that global engagement.
Tell us as well what it's like for the battlefield side, the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. How do you serve and work there as well?
That is what we call expeditionary medicine. And expeditionary medicine is, as is the Navy and is the Marines who we serve also, Navy medicine serves on, above, and under the sea. And expeditionary is certainly on the ground primarily and in the battle zone. And we have different facilities in the theater of operations. So, for instance, for Afghanistan, there is a large, what we call level 3 trauma facility in Afghanistan that the Navy mans. And then also there are a variety of small contingents of medical support with Marine Corps. Again, Navy medicine provides healthcare services for the Marine Corps as well. And always there is a medical contingent within arm's reach of the Marine Corps. And so one is that large hospital that may man, but then the small forward presence. And the nature of the battle now is such that we have worked very, very hard to bring more definitive health care to the service member in the battlefield. So in previous wars, you would scoop and bring them out as quickly as you can, whereas now we have enhanced our capability to provide care as much as possible on site before we bring them back to the United States for more definitive care. We have heroes, nurses, doctors, dentists, allied health professionals, and truly our most significant heroes are our Navy hospital corpsmen, who have really been the most significant member in deployment. And our Navy enlisted corpsmen are the most decorated Navy members in the enlisted community from this war.
Well, Rear Admiral Rebecca McCormick-Boyle, thank you so much for being in our studio and joining us.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.